In Isaiah, the 60th chapter, beginning at the first verse, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee." Now, in reading this, as always, I had no plans to read it. I had no plans to preach. I had nothing marked. I did not know what I was going to read or what I was going to preach from or teach from, because as a rule, I never do. When I come up here, I come strictly by the leading of the Lord. I come with an open heart. I come with my soul magnifying God when I come in the doors. And I come up here to take whatever God gives me to read from. Whatever he tells me to read from, that's what I read from. And whatever he speaks to me, well, that's what I try to do. If there's a brother that God speaks to me about that he should preach, then I call him up to preach. And this morning, I did not know that they were going to film when I come up here this morning. I had no plans to film this morning, but I hadn't had a chance to talk with Brother Floyd. And Brother Floyd accepted the fact that the lights were up, that we were going to film, and he brought along his camera. And even when I learned that he was going to film, I still desired a certain brother this morning that I wanted to preach, that I wanted to catch on film, because I would like to catch him on film. But nevertheless, God has a spiritual significance this morning in having me to exhort you just a little bit in the gospel of Christ this morning. Now, today is a special time. And I know that some of you are seeing some things and you understand it, and some of you do not see and you do not understand. But the Bible tells us that the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Isn't that right? I used the terms a little bit ago. When Elizabeth came unto Mary, that was a salutation. See, a manner of salutation. We should have a holy salutation when we come together, that we might enter into a spiritual atmosphere with God to where we can see when good cometh. If we learn to greet each other with a holy kiss, that's a wonderful salutation, to salute each other. When you go into a house and you salute the house, that your peace may rest upon that house. Now, I know that when we think of that, Jesus was speaking of the disciples going out into the natural fields of labor, going to the natural houses and saluting the natural houses. I know that. But what he was speaking of spiritually was that when I, as a spiritual being, come unto you as another spiritual being, then inside of your tabernacle or your house, there is an individual dwelling there. And if I salute your house with peace, and then my peace return unto me, then I know that the Prince of Peace is not there. You follow me? A lot of times I meet you brethren in the morning. And if you notice, most every time I'll say, "Hello, brother." You might come in over here and I might pick up your spirit and know that a devil's on you when you come up to me. But I'll turn around and I'll say, hello, brother, to try to break that spirit, not waiting for you to give me a salutation, but rather to salute you, that I might help to break that thing off of you. And then sometimes I meet people, it's not a devil on them, but when they come into my presence, they are born to the devil. They are filled with the devil. And when I salute them, my spirit goes out with all meekness, all sweetness, all love and understanding to try to embrace them spiritually speaking. And I feel a hard spirit. I feel an evil presence. And I feel my peace return unto me and go back into the house from whence it came. Then the Lord said to shake off the dust of your feet as a witness and a testimony against that person. When you come to a house like that, then you know that God is not there. Because if the Prince of Peace was there, you as an inner spirit could go into that heart and unite with that heart. And the Christ within you, united with your spirit, could go in and sup with that spirit in his little house and dwell there in his heart. How do you know that? So then, we are supposed to have the manner of salutation that God intends for us to have when we meet a person in humility and in love, not waiting for the other person to salute us, but the Bible said to submit ourselves one to another as unto the Lord. Is that right? Wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Word, as unto the Lord, because the Word commands that. So then we are to submit ourselves one to another as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God's Word commands us to do that. When we come together, then we can have one mind and one accord. The thing that Hitler tried to do when he raised up the people years ago was to bring them up in one mind and one accord. He knew that the only way to conquer the world was to take some while they were young and bring them up in one mind and one accord, that when he gave a command, every one of them would respond to it. They tell me he was a Bible scholar. You know, that's a Bible way of doing things. God knows the only way that he can ever conquer the earth is to bring him up a generation that will respond to his every command. Is that right? He takes them from a young age and he begins to train them and bring them up that when he speaks, they can be as on the day of Pentecost in one mind and one accord. And then the Holy Spirit can fill all the temple. When Solomon got the temple built, the Spirit filled all the temple. And when God puts us together as lively stones in one mind and one accord, then the Holy Spirit will fill the temple and the glory of the Lord will have risen upon you and I. The Catholic people are very smart people. They say that they can get a little child when he's just a little feller, 6 or 7 years old. If they can have him up till that time, that nobody can change him. That once a Catholic, he'll always be a Catholic. They know the value of training people up in what they want them to do. That's why we have the little school down here, is to train people up in the way that Christ would have them to go, to eliminate all the infiltration that comes from the books out yonder and from the schools out yonder, and to give them a pure heart and to give them a pure mind. And then they grow up in a pure heart, in a pure condition, in a pure mind. That's why that the devil sends these young boys that gets on dope and wants to commit all of these evil things. That's why Satan sends them on these grounds. It's because the devil knows that we are raising a pure-hearted people, and if one body of pure-hearted people ever comes up in the earth, then the end of the world is here, because Satan can no longer control them. As long as they're intermingled with the world and things happening out there, to where when you get a little virtue in them, the devil can throw a little garbage in them, God can't come back because he can't fully have his way. But when we raise up a generation that is pure-hearted, then Christ will set up his kingdom within it, and then the end of the world will be here. And the devil knows that. So he proves that these boys that are on the outside, he causes them to get all doped up and to come back out here to try to defile our little girls or to defile our little boys with their filthy tongues and to bring that evil into little Bethlehem to where he can keep this body of people from being pure in the sight of God and coming up into a royal generation, a royal priesthood to establish the government of God. But folks, this is one time he's going to fail. This is one time that the devil is going to fail. God, this time, Jim, is going to bring forth what he's always wanted to bring forth. And God is going to bring forth a man child. Bring forth a man child, and that man child is going to rule the earth with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. And that rod of iron is going to be the infallible word of the living God. It's going to be a word that's turned into spirit. That mind is going to turn itself into spirit. And that spirit is going to be the spirit of his mouth that will consume his enemies. The word of God, the rod of iron. I read to you here, it said that all of the nations of the world, all of the Gentiles, all of the people, they shall be converted unto thee. The multitudes of the isles of the sea shall come unto thee, and all people shall come unto thee to hear what you have to say. And the Bible said in that day the house of God shall be established. The house of the Lord shall be established in that day, and it shall be a beautiful thing. And all of the nations of the world will say one to another, we have forgotten our God. Let us repent and let us go up to the house of our God, and he will teach us of his ways. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought that the house of God shall be established and all nations shall flow up to it. Germany shall go up to it. Russia shall go up to it. China shall go up to it. America shall go up to it. Now I know we say, well, Brother Pike, America's going to be blown to bits. But in that day, America shall go up to give praise unto God. All of the nations of the world, God will spare enough of them that they will pass through the tribulation period. And when God has established the kingdom that he promised to establish in the earth and set up the government that he promised to set up in the earth, all nations shall flow unto it, and it shall be a glorious thing. And they will say one to another, let us go up to the house of God and let him teach us of his ways. I like that. You know, a lot of people feel like the gospel is everything, but what it really is. But the Bible said when the house of God is established, they won't just say, let us go up to the house of God and see if there's somebody up there that can preach faith to us. But we will go up to the house of God and we will let God teach us of his ways. Hallelujah. God's got some ways. How many know that? And he demonstrated those ways in the Lord Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his desire in the Lord Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his way in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God in a personification as Jesus walked in the earth. It was the established temple of God. It was God's body among humanity walking in the earth. It was God's ways. And the Bible said he is our example and we ought to follow in his steps to do what he did in his ways. Let us go up and learn about the ways of God. We are living in the day that even this very day right here, this very morning that I'm ministering to you, it has to do with the house of God being established. This very morning is a special morning. These very lights that you see up here shining, these lights have a great significance. Look at it this morning. I read to you where the Bible said, thy light has come. Thy light has come. See, these are the brightest lights we've had in here since we've had the sanctuary. Thy light has come, he said. Rise up, hallelujah. He said, and shine, for thy light has come. The glory of God is risen upon thee. Hallelujah. And a special hour is here that your light can shine, Jim. We can get up and look and see the things that God's doing, and our light can shine. What a glorious moment. What a glorious hour, a glorious time that your light is risen. Your light is risen. And God said, let your light shine. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor sings a song, "Let the Little Light Shine." It's time for you to let your light shine. Your light has risen. God has done such great things in the last few days. A lot of you have not seen it. But I thought about Brother Leon Wilson going up here over in the South Carolina, in the areas of Augusta. They planned a meeting. The Brother Branham followers got together, planned a meeting, asked him to come up there. And here he goes up there to preach to them on a Saturday, the Sabbath of the Lord, you know, to the Jews. Going up there to preach to them. Brother Branham's followers following the pattern of the Jews, waiting for the return of the Messiah, knowing that Brother Branham was their Messiah, and they believed him to be the Messiah, and he went away, and they're waiting for the return of the Messiah in this last dimensional projecting of God. And so then right here, when they're expecting the resurrection of him, Brother Leon goes over there. They plan a meeting for him, and there he preaches to them. Over there, he preached to them on the Sabbath, on the very same day that the doors was closing to the Gentiles out here. Follow me? They planned the reception on the very day that the doors, in the typical sense, was closing to the Gentile church. Have you still understand? And then these two lights come up here. I spoke of these two lights that look so insignificant to the natural-minded person, having to do with the two prophets that was to come on the scene. That great light that was to shine. See, these are not just ordinary lights. Most of these lights run on 110. But when they put the light to this, it's 220. That's twice as much. It's a double portion. You follow what I'm saying? And so then these lights, indicating the rapture of the church, their light has risen. And Brother Floyd with the films this morning with the camera, taking these pictures and filming the morning service with no plans. God did it with no plans at all. Their light has risen. God has done it. This morning, with no plans at all, here we come here and in color, we start filming these services. At the same time that Brother Wilson was up here, Brother Taylor and Brother Tommy was over here in the office working on the thunders. The Bible said when that last messenger sound, the mysteries of God would be finished. And the thunders came just prior to that. And here Brother Taylor was up here working on the thunders. The doors being closed. The thunders up here working on the thunders. The lights coming here in the sanctuary. The brighter light, the double portion, redemption of the body. At the very same time, Brother Wilson over here in the Carolinas carrying on up there. See, there's too many things coming together for it to be coincidental. Even Brother Gonzalez, as he stood down there at the doors, said, "Brother Pike," said, that level of square, whatever it was, that Brother Adley Beach is using, said, "Do you know where that come from?" I said, "Where did it come from, Al?" He said, "It comes from Eagle Pass." Well, see, Eagle Pass is the connector between the United States and Mexico. And Mexico follows the pattern of the Jews. And God going to extremes to bring it that far. That right there at the very doorway, there he brought all the way from Eagle Pass that square and put it right there for our Brother Atlee to use it on those doors. You understand what I'm saying? So then things are taking place. I even watched Brother James Isaac, our brother that we baptized in the Jordan River while we were in Palestine. He came along with one of these little coins that he got out of Palestine. He fastened it on the end of a chain, and somebody gave him a watch, a Hamilton, I believe it is, a watch that dates back to about 1908, just about the time the revival broke out before. Now see, Brother James's name being Isaac, and him taking this little piece that come out of Palestine, had it custom made to fit this little timepiece. I'd made the statement, I said, "Brother James, being Isaac, has to do with the promised son, and it is time for the promised son, it is time for the Jew," and he put it on a timepiece. Hallelujah. Every little thing matching up, moving up, coming up to the place to where God can use it. Why? Because thy light has risen. It is time for us to rise up and shine. It is time for this message to go out around the world. Not only locally, here in little Bethlehem, but into the neighboring states, into the nations that's overseas. But it will rise up and it will cover the world. And the multitude of the Gentiles shall be converted unto this. All of the isles of the sea shall come here. Your sons and daughters shall come from afar to come to this place right here.
an outstanding thing is taking place. Why? Because God has brought your light at last. Brother Gerald's vision of the great light said, Brother Pike, you was fixing to put forth a film with a light that was the brightest that mankind had ever seen. So bright that nobody could seem to stand in the presence of it. He said he himself stumbled and fell on his face in the presence of that light. That reminds me of the vision that I had when this thing first was set in way, or set in order. When I was at Salem and I saw this vision, and that face of the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me along a little dusty road, just as this road was out here. And I looked and I saw that face and that image as it grew bigger and grew brighter, and the unseen force and the unseen power as it came over me, as it moved toward me, I kept watching. I saw this thing as it picked me up and set me down on my face, just like Jerry said the light did him. It picked me up and it set me down on my face. I kept beholding the light. I kept watching the light. I kept looking at the light. And I was trying to reverence the light with all I knew how to reverence it. But somehow or another, I didn't bow down to it. But I watched, and the big boulders rolled out of their sockets in the ground and done obeisance under the light. I saw the trees as they swayed over and they bent over from one side to another to do obeisance under the light. And I was so fascinated. I just kept looking. I kept watching. I knew that I had to bow down to the light, but I was so carried away with it I couldn't bow down to it. I was so fascinated. And before that great image ever got to me, I looked and heard an unseen power that I couldn't see. The spiritual power of God, something that I couldn't see. It picked me up and set me down on my face. There I went down just like all the rest. The Bible said every knee shall bow before him, every tongue shall confess. Our light has risen. What will it be to the world? Every knee shall bow before it. Every tongue shall confess. Not one person will bypass this great light. Every person will bow down to it. Every person will acknowledge it. I've watched already, and people that they told me was hard people that you could never break, they always break when this light comes, or God destroys them. The Bible said, whosoever falleth upon this stone shall be broken. Upon whomsoever this stone falleth, it shall grind him to powder. And I've watched that people that are hard, they're breaking when they come to this stone. God's breaking them, and they're having to break down and confess that this is Christ. I've talked to the hard judges, and I've seen them break down under this more than one time. As we talked to them, I've talked to a number of judges, and I've seen them break under the powers of what God is doing. Not one time, but a number of times I've seen them do it. I've seen teachers break under it. I've seen bankers break under it. I've seen great men break under it. I've seen men that are generals and top brass in the army. I've seen them break under this as we faced them with the word of God. I've come face to face with them, and I've had them to meet me with such a stern look. Everybody has to bow down to them, and they feel themselves, you know, and they feel their authority. And I've been in their presence when you go in and you could tell that it was a godly sort of a thing, to where you have to break your spirit to them and bow down to them. But this little stone that was hewed out of the mountain, the Bible said it came rolling down through Babylon, tearing down the kingdoms of the world. Hallelujah. And it grew till it filled all of the earth. Hallelujah. And this little stone, as we've met them, these great men, we've come into their presence and we've met them, come right face to face to them or with them, and when we've met them, they would have that stern look. They would have that fixed position. But as we begin to speak the word of God, they crumble under the impacts of the little stone. They crumble under the impacts of the word of God. And in a little while, instead of us bowing down to them, they were fearful and afraid and bowing down to us in the word of God. I will make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. Thy light has risen. It is time for us to shine. The hour has come that we should rise up and possess the world. God said to Moses and to those great leaders, he said, go forth and possess the land. He said, wherever you put your foot, I will give it to you. If I put my foot in Monroe, he's going to give it to me. Hallelujah. The police didn't want me to take it. The people in the stores didn't want me to take it. The other people that are businessmen roundabout didn't want me to take it, but I took it for God. Hallelujah. I took it for God through faith in Christ. Wherever you set your feet, I will give it to you. You go wherever you want to go, I shall be with thee, and lo, I shall watch over thee. And wherever you set your foot, I will give it unto thee. Hallelujah. So today, we have the power, brethren, by faith to fix our faith in God and to go forth, and God will give unto us the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. Get fear out of your heart. Don't worry when the dark shadows come over you, when the dark clouds hover over you, when evil thoughts assail you, and when thoughts try to contaminate your mind and then tell you that you're defiled and that you're wretched. Pay no attention to it. Keep your heart pure. Look to God. Keep walking on. Keep faith in God, because what the devil's trying to do is kill your faith. He's trying to destroy your faith. He's trying to convince you that you are defiled and unclean, so that that faith will go down, because he knows that if you've got a pure heart, that faith is coming up, and that you're going to be able to conquer and bring forth the kingdom and establish God's kingdom in the earth by the power of faith. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. So then what God wants us to do is have faith and walk on. Hallelujah, just keep walking on. In the rain and the sunshine and the storm or whatever it is, just keep walking on. Hallelujah, step after step, and God will bring it to pass in your life. Decree a thing in your heart and God will give it to you. Say what you will and doubt not, don't waver, and God will bring it to pass in your life. Just stand there like a rock and don't move. Hallelujah, and God will bring it to pass in your life. I was talking to Brother Cantrell yesterday, and the Lord was speaking to me about Brother Cantrell. He spoke to me about Brother Cantrell a number of times in the past, and people all around him want to accuse him and say things against him. He's been through a typical crucifixion like Jesus. You know, he's up here in a lofty place, up here a builder, a great reputation, and God took him all the way down to the bottom, and made him like a servant and put him down there just to make out the best way he could, him and his family. Christ coming down, hallelujah, the member of the body, coming down to the place of the earth. Why? Why did Jesus come down? Why did God take Brother Cantrell down? That was a reason to make us feel the infirmities of the weak. Hallelujah. And to get the bridle on us to where that he could use us in a greater way. Hallelujah. Like a brother told me the other day about the horses. Hallelujah. If you don't break your spirit, you can't pull the king's chariot. Hallelujah, you can't pull the king's chariot. You may rebel, you may rise up, you may say, no, I'm not going to submit. But one of these days you'll see those horses come by that's beautifully arrayed in the garments of the kings, in the adorning of the king, coming by, pulling the chariot, and there you'll have to stand off and look, amen, as they go by in admiration. Hallelujah, love the Lord. So then he brought him down for a purpose. Jesus went down into the heart of the earth, way down. But God didn't forsake him. God didn't put him down there to do away with him. But God was purging him, bringing him down to let him feel my infirmities. That when Brother Pike cried, and when Brother Pike felt lonely, and when Brother Pike felt like he couldn't make it, there would be somebody on the right hand of God that would say, Father, have compassion. I felt that when I was down there. Father, have compassion. I know what they're going through down there. You understand what I'm saying? So then God said, I'll pick Brother Cantrell up. Hallelujah. I've processed him, but I'll pick him up. I'll elevate him to a greater place than he ever was. If he'll walk before me, be humble and be sincere, and won't let his faith waver, stay there and believe in God, so I'll raise him up to great heights, hallelujah, and great places. God will do it. He will hasten to perform his word. He will raise him up. He will bless him. He will give him the desires of his heart. He will make him to ride upon the high place of the earth. And all the people shall call him blessed, because God will be with him. I will put the fear of the Lord upon all of the people concerning you. And they will be afraid of you, because you are called by my name. God's good, ain't he? Hallelujah. So then, your light has come. It has risen upon you. I have glorified thee, I read to you this morning. Thy light has come. God glorified us in Jesus Christ before the world ever was. But see, we've not been able to exercise our authority. We've not been able to enjoy our benefits, even though we're sons of God right now. We've not been able to enjoy it because we wait for the redemption of our body. But folks, the hour has come. Now's the hour for the redemption of the body. What Brother Wilson done yesterday, what's taking place with these doors down here. Notice the glorification of the church is coming in. Something has begun to happen. God is doing something. I learned yesterday that already Carter has dismissed Kissinger from his job. I remember I said he turned to him for foreign aid. He did, and the paper stated it. And already I made the statement, I said it'll never mix. Already he's dismissed him from his service. And I saw a cunning thing. I saw a cunning thing because Kissinger was pleased with it. Kissinger was willing to yield up all of his information, all of his means of contacts to this new ambassador that was to come forth. He was to yield it up, and he was glad to do it. Something's wrong there. He wouldn't be glad to yield it up. There's something wrong. Carter to save faith and stand by his statement in discharging the man. According to his statements, he has worked something out with Kissinger that pleases Kissinger. He's done it. And in a roundabout way, he has saved face. And he has at last used Kissinger by getting control of him momentarily to cause him to yield up the thing that would benefit Carter in the foreign fields. He used Kissinger in those foreign matters to get control. And this man that's coming up is nothing more than a sham. Something out there that Kissinger can hide behind. And just like the man sitting in the cockpit of the plane. You might see the plane, but he's not the engineer of it. God is doing something. There's something that's taking place. Clay and iron don't mix. Amen. And those 10 toes that was to come up in that hour, what does the Bible say about it? In that day, the little stone that was hewn out of the mountain would come. In the day of the 10 toes, then would come the little stone. The little stone is here. The little stone is ready. The little stone is about to break forth. Hallelujah. To go forth, tearing down the kingdom of the world. Hallelujah. Making everything to bow to the word of God. And the sons of God shall gallantly stand up like they never have before. They've been afraid. They've drawn back. They couldn't really believe that they could rise up and take the kingdom of this world. But the sons of God are going to be staunch. They're going to stand up. And they're going to go forth in the powers of God. And they're going to do something for the Lord. And they're going to be braver and bolder than they've ever been in all their lifetime to cause this thing to come to pass that God spoke of. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful hour. Thy light has come. Thy light has risen. Upon thee has the light come. I have glorified thee. The multitudes of the Gentiles shall be converted unto thee. Ask of me the heathens and I will give them unto thee. Is that right? God will give you the heathens if you ask of him. Have you ever asked God for the heathens? Down on my face I prayed. And I said, Lord, give me the heathens for my inheritance. Hallelujah. Grant unto me the heathens for my inheritance. He's doing it. I prayed that prayer before he ever done it. Today we've got about 15 or 20 different foreign languages. Why? Because he heard my prayer. When I prayed. And I said, Lord, give me the heathens for my inheritance. Amen. The Bible teaches that these will be stars in your crowns. Multitudes of people can be gathered to you. Multitudes of people can be won to you. And those heathens out there, you can win them. They're looking for a leader. They're looking for God. They're looking for help. They're looking for salvation. They're looking for something that will sustain them. And we can ask God for these people and God will give them to us for our inheritance. Oh God, give me the inheritance of the heathens. Give me the inheritance, God. Oh God, give it to me. That I might reach them, that I might help them, that I might stand for them, and that they might stand for this gospel. You love the Lord? Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. Now I know this has just been a little bit of exhortation this morning, but I feel like this is what the Lord wanted me to say. Thy light has risen. It is time for thee, O people of God, to rise up and shine. It's time for thee that thy light should not be hid in a corner anymore. You don't light a candle to put it under a bushel, but the Bible said you set it up on a candlestick where everyone can see. And it's time for our light to go forth. This very day marks the beginning of a great thing. This very day denotes the coming in of the Jewish people. And you watch from this time forward. Watch the Jews begin to fortify their strongholds. Watch them begin to rise up in a more courageous way, in a more demanding way, in a more precision way than they ever have in their lives. Now I know that Kissinger and Carter has cunningly conceived the things that they have, because Carter knows that the Jews, that they are against Kissinger. And he knows that if he fellowships Kissinger openly, that the Jews is not going to come under his control. And to consolidate his kingdom, to make sure everything's all right, then he has to put Kissinger in the background, put another fella out there, and let Kissinger engineer the thing, yielding up to him the information and all that he has to have, being there to where he could put his finger on him. Tell me this, if there's such bitter enemies right now, why is it that Carter's wife, why did the paper show that Carter's wife was with Kissinger? Carter wasn't there. Carter's wife was with Kissinger down in Mexico City a few days ago, where they took in their 60th president. Something is working in the background. And Carter is so smart. He is one of the smartest men that I ever seen. I felt like he would be one of the smartest men that ever come to the presidency, and that he would turn it into a monarch and get control of everything to where he himself could be the chief engineer. And already he has done it. He said he wasn't going to have a chief of staff. That put him in control. That eliminated one of the thorns in his flesh. Isn't that right? Turned around, he doesn't want to have Kissinger between him and his enterprise. That eliminated another power. Is that right? He has turned around and asked them to let him change the federal government. And I know the major strategic point of operation is what he's going to strike at. Just change him enough to where the people won't know it, but Carter will have control in every part of it. And another thing, Carter is smart enough that he has realized that the thing that gave the former president's trouble was the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And Carter had won the favor of the black man, and he has voiced this statement that he was going to put a black man as the judge in the Supreme Court, or one of the great courts of the United States. Either the Supreme Court or one of the others that is relative to it. Now, in so doing, that eliminates his problem altogether. If he's got favor with the black man, and the black man's up there, they're not going to take Carter out of office, no matter what he does. Because they've never had a president in office. And if they get this man under their control, and I'm speaking of worldly people, they're not going to take him out, Supreme Court or no Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court has been able to override the presidents of the past and charge them with their evils. But Carter is wise enough that he's not taking any chances of getting in prison. He's not taking any chances of anybody being in any authoritative place to where they can put the finger on him. That in the event that he does slip, in the event that he does make a mistake, he's already secure. He's already got his kingdom in such a position that nobody can't do anything with him. That is a monarch. That is a dictatorship. That is a monarch. And I said he would be the best president that we've had in many years. Perhaps the greatest that ever came on the earth. Already, I didn't know this till yesterday, but 10 psychics has already predicted that he will be the greatest president we ever had and go down in history as the greatest president we ever had. Why not? Anybody could get control of the world would be the greatest leader. And the thing is, in what he has done here, he will seek to do it in Germany. He will seek to do it in Russia. He will seek to do it through the other authorities and ambassadors around the world. And he is changing from Kissinger, because Kissinger has already forerun the thing just like I said he would, to lay the foundation for it. And bringing this other man up, all the little differences that would reflect him through Kissinger will never be felt, because they've got somebody brand new that nobody's mad at. Even the Arabs was pleased with the change. Now, it means one thing to me, and that is that a world power of dictatorship is now set in order. A governmental power of world dictatorship through Carter in the launching of the last move to bring in Antichrist, it has started through Carter. That means that if there is a natural, then brethren, today there is a spiritual. There is a spiritual. They have to coincide as on earth, so in the spirit, or so in heaven. When the thing gets right on the earth, it has to be that way in heaven. I made the statement that this winter would be a severe winter because it had to do with the tribulation period. And I'm aware of you standing now. But I found out that this winter is supposed to be the worst in 20 years since I made the statement. Also, I made the statement the other night, scientists don't understand why, but the vultures are doubling their eggs. Said they've never done it before, but they're doubling their eggs. Being a type of the tribulation, the Jews coming in, Brother Wilson going up yonder, everything fitting together just perfectly, doubling up on their eggs the way the vultures are, where the supper of the Lord was to come in, saying, come and eat the flesh of great men and of kings and of captains. These people that are going to be slaughtered, bombs that's going to be dropped, vultures multiplying to eat their carcasses, while spiritual vultures are multiplying. A generation that is sex crazy. A generation that is dope crazy. A generation that is whiskey crazy. Merit, frolic, laughter, fun, gimmick crazy. This generation, a sinful, an adulterous generation, Christ said that would look for a sign everywhere. Seek miracles, seek signs, never seek salvation, never seek holy living, never seek clean, upright living, never seek to help their neighbor and help the poor and help the widow. Never seeking that, but fame crazy, seeking after something in the world out there. This generation, Jesus said he rained fire and brimstone down upon them because there would be an adulterous generation. An adulterous generation. A generation that would dress in tight clothes and form-fitting clothing. Go around nude. They'd lust after each other in their thoughts. Marry one time, two times, 10 times. You understand what I'm saying, folks? The end of the world is here. The end of the world has at last come. But you can arise. Do something for God, for your light has arisen. God hath glorified you. It is our hour to do something. I want you to sing a little chorus with me. This little chorus we sang the other day, without him, I can do nothing. This is my conviction and my testimony that without him, I can do nothing. With him, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. There is nothing, Brother Cantrell, that we cannot do as a son of God. We know all things as a son of God. We understand all things as a son of God. We have the responsibility of God's government upon our shoulders as a son of God. And God is expecting us to set up his kingdom in the earth, knowing all things, able to do all things, able to bring forth something that would help the people, being concerned about Jesus. That's who we're supposed to be. Concerned about Christ, willing to give our lives, our substance. I feel the Holy Ghost. All that we have, a track that we've got, my all, I give to thee my all, Lord. Okay, let's sing this little chorus together. Without him I can do nothing. Without him I would
but fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Sing it again. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, won't you hear him today? Oh, don't turn him away. Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him how lost I would be. Sing it one more time. So without him I could do nothing. Without him I would but fail. Sing it with me. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Sing it. Oh Jesus, can you lift your hands? Oh Jesus, won't you hear him today? Turn him away. Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus, without him how lost I would be. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love him for just a minute. I feel his presence right here right now. I feel the presence of God here right now. I feel your heart stirred. I feel your faith lifted up. I feel you encouraged in Jesus. I feel the warm presence of God over you. The light, thy light has risen. The dark shadows of gloom and doubt, the dark shadows of heaviness and weariness hanging over you has been expelled. For he said, I shall destroy him with the brightness of my coming. And the bright light of God is expelling the shadows, the doubts, the fears, the despondencies, the weariness. God is putting it in the past. God is putting it behind you. The Bible said, forgetting those things that are behind. If you've stumbled, if you've staggered, if you've made a mistake, if you've done wrong, forget it. Put it in the past. Get it behind you. Hallelujah. This is the new day. This is the new hour. This is the new time. This is the time that we're coming forth as sons of God, as a royal generation, as kings and priests unto our God. This is the day of the falling of the walls of Jericho. This is the time when they crumble to the ground, when everything has to give away as the great army of God begins to march across the earth. What a wonderful hour, what a day. An army where God can speak, where he can command, and every member will obey. Everyone will coordinate. Everyone will march hand in hand. Everyone will refuse to break ranks. Everyone will see eye to eye. Everyone will speak the same thing in this hour in which we live in. And while the world is divided, every person divided, while one person is saying one thing and another person saying another thing, and they're divided, then Christ will unite his body, and they will look in great admiration at a government, at a people, at somebody that can coordinate together. Hallelujah! Somebody that can stand together as a unit that's not divided, with great leaders walking out before him. Hallelujah. We've got men here that's great statesmen of God. They're ambassadors. The Bible said you are ambassadors of Christ. Kissinger's never been an ambassador like the men that we've got here. We've got men that are ambassadors for God. Not just the president or government of the earth, but of the government of God. Ambassadors for Christ. Hallelujah. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and we shall possess it and enjoy it and live in His presence. Have it forever and forever and forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The braille that we've got, going to the blind. Them that were blind in part, the Jews, the blind, carrying sight to the blind. Going to the blind, the faith of the fathers, the track. Going to the blind, going to the Jew right here when the doors are closing, when the government is changing. When everything has come to an end, the American government having come to an end. Right here when William Branham said the destruction is round the corner. A few days from now, according to his prediction, just a few days away, the government ended in America, blown to bits, shifted back over yonder. Everything right on time. Isn't it beautiful? Everything is falling right on its mark, right to the time. Just the way God said it would. Right down to the T. Let's sing that one more time, can we? Don't forget the service tonight. Don't forget any of the services. There'll be them in the services. And from time to time, we'll be getting your testimony and what you have to say for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our desire is to project you to the nations. We'll be filming the ministers as they preach. Be catching them on film. Cataloging them just like we caught them on tape. Bill's got them on tape up here, cataloging them on films to where we can have it and send it to those that are without, making these people the head of the nation, that people might see them, might hear them, and enjoy their testimony and what they have to say about Jesus Christ. Let's sing that again, can we? We'll be catching our ladies with their long dresses to project them, to show the world the way that they ought to dress and the way that they ought to be. Don't come with form-fitting clothes, lady. Don't come looking like a bag. Come like a lady. Come conscientious. Come not to show yourself off, but Jesus. And God will bless you. If you'll lift up Jesus, God will lift you up. How do you know that? The greater you lift up Jesus, the greater God will lift you up. Because He wants the world to see Him, not through a selfish means, but He's the only means of life and security and substance in this last day. Let's lift Him up. You love Him? It's like a woman. The more she lifts up her husband, the more He's going to bless her and give to her and fix her convenience and make her pretty so she can lift Him up the more. Is that right? Because He's the head of the house. All right? Let's sing this again, can we? Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows all will vanish, and your night turn to day.